Well, as we started, and you think back on this study, and we're just now to lesson 9, but we started back and we looked at basically the first 5 lessons all deal with the Bible. We talked about the Bible as a whole and the Old Testament and the New Testament and putting it together and the timelines. And then we went to God and we looked at His character. And then for the last couple of weeks, we looked at the whole creation of man and the fall of man, and then how God, the penalty and the provisions and all those things that we saw. We now come, and if you looked at your outline, which you don't have to even look at now, we've now come to another section, because we started off with the Bible, and then we looked at God, and then we looked at mankind and the fall, and now we're looking at a section we're calling salvation. And salvation is a very broad term, as we're going to see tonight. And so sometimes when people say the word salvation, they automatically think of eternal life. Like, are you saved? And what does that mean? And you know, well, let's talk about salvation. And everybody says, well, when we talk about salvation, we're talking about eternal life salvation. Well, we're going to find that the Bible doesn't use it all that way. In fact, there are a lot of different aspects of the term salvation, and we'll talk about it when we get to it. So we move to a great part. Now, the problem, or the thing is that all people are sinning come short of the glory of God. Where wages of sin is death. We owe God death. How in the world are we going to be able to have a relationship with God? And as we went back in the garden, we saw the fall, but God said there's going to be the seed of woman. I'm just going to put this up for a second. He said the seed of woman is going to come, and this is going to be a redeemer that's going to be deal with the sins of the world. And then later it came back, it was the seed of Abraham. And this means from this nation, this Israel, these Jews, there's going to come a Savior that will be the Savior of the entire world, because all the world will be blessed. And then we saw that there was the son of David. And this is in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 17. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 17. Here's this promise to this man that he would have a son that would sit on the throne forever. So it couldn't be just a regular person. It had to be the Messiah. And then, of course, we there's another place that says son of man, which is going to build a kingdom. And then I like it when you think of the son of Mary, in which this woman is going to, you know, she is a virgin, and she's going to have a child, and the child would be the Savior of the world. And then, as we called it, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so there's this promise that God has said. God says, I'm going to send a Redeemer. I'm going to send a Savior. And when we think about the Bible, the whole aspect ties together. You look at the Old Testament is all looking forward to the coming Messiah. You look at the New Testament is either looking at the Messiah or looking back at the Messiah who came. And so we're going to see all this. And as we start our lesson tonight, we need to think about ourselves and what's happened and what God does for us. Now, let me just say this about this lesson. This is, many of you already know this. We've taught this many times in our church over the years. But for some, you may say, this is the first time I've ever put this together. I have a friend that it's been years and years ago. He was in this class, and we were in this lesson. And he said, this is the first, this lesson and the different aspects of salvation and how all that fits together has put the Bible together for me. He said, it all of a sudden, it began to make sense in how the Bible flows together. So I hope for you tonight, if you haven't, most of you know all of this, but if you don't know it, hopefully that it will help you. So let's start, let's think about, and let me move along on this thing. Let's talk about our condition. And Isaiah 53:6 says what? All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. And before we even get to the part that God has laid on him all our iniquities, the bottom line is our condition is that we're sinful, that we're all like sheep have gone astray. We're all turned the wrong way. We're all doing the wrong thing. And that's what you see. In fact, as you continue to look at that, we've all sinned and gone astray from God. And there's nobody that has not sinned. There's nobody that doesn't have this problem. And then we think about it, that God has caused our sin to be placed on Christ. And if we just stopped right there, we've got the story that here's mankind. Let's just say that's all man, all people, all men, all, and our sin has been placed on Christ on the cross. That's what that, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one away, but the Lord hath laid on him all our iniquities. And so you could just stop right there and say, there it is. In fact, when we think about it, we think about the story of the Bible. God's plan of reconciliation is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself. This is just a little bit different, but it's a perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about that. That's the story of the Bible. And we call the story of the Bible reconciliation. And notice it's different than saying salvation, because I've heard people say, story of the Bible, salvation. No, the story of the Bible is reconciliation. And that's how God brings man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ. That's reconciliation. And what we're going to find, that under the whole picture, the story of the Bible, the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ, there is aspect of salvation. And you may say, well, salvation and reconciliation, aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. In fact, we're going to find there are actually three aspects of salvation. There's a past aspect of salvation, there is a present aspect of salvation, and there's a future aspect of salvation, which a lot of people don't put it together. And because when they read a verse, and the verse says something like, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, there are people who'll say, well, I thought I was already saved, but now I got to work out and be saved, or something like that. And so we just want you to understand that as we look through this, we're going to see that this whole idea of reconciliation deals with salvation, and there's aspects of salvation. So tonight, most of you know this, and I'm gonna erase this. And most of you know this, but you may not have thought about how it all fits together. So let's just start with this idea. What about the salvation aspect? Can man be good enough to get to God? I mean, the answer is no, of course. Because why? The standard's what? Perfection. You know, most people look around and they say, well, I'm not as bad as these people, or I'm a lot better than some of these people. Well, I go to church and they don't, that kind of thing. They don't understand the standard isn't other people. The standard isn't just be better than somebody else. The standard is perfection. So can a person be good enough to get to God? No. In fact, we must be perfect to be with God. So we're thinking about the aspects of reconciliation and how all this fits together. So let me just throw up a thought out there. What if a person said, from this moment on, I'm 20 years old, from this moment on, I'm never going to sin again, and I'm going to be good enough to get to God. And what if from that moment on, they never sinned another time? Would they be able to get to God? No. Why not? They already sinned. Yeah, if I'm 20 years old and from that point on I never sin again, I'm still a sinner, right? I've already sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter. I could say I'm 99% good, okay? But you're still not 100% good. The standard is perfection. And when you really think about it, nobody's good enough. And no matter how good a person is, they're just not good enough. And so we're going to look at, and that's why I've got, can a man be good enough to get to God? What is the standard? The standard is perfection. And so I'm going to do two different things tonight. First of all, I'm going to, where you see it says three parts to God's plan. There's really not quite enough room there that I want you to have, but just write the best you can in there, because I'm going to give you some information. And then if you notice on, the rest of the lesson goes back to these three things and gives us more information. So we're going to go over it basically several different ways. So let's think about God's, what I call the three-phase plan, three parts to God's plan. I want you to understand this. When we say salvation, don't just say, yeah, God saved me so I could have eternal life. Because that's just one aspect of the whole salvation plan. And we're going to see how it fits together. So let's start with the three-phase plan, three parts. I'm going to write some things up on the board. But the first thing is what we call justification, okay? Justification. That's justification. We're going to talk about what justification means in just a minute. And this is past salvation. Past salvation. This is justification. This is we have been saved. What is the penalty of sin? Okay, penalty of sin is death. What is the provision for the penalty of sin? What is it? Jesus Christ died for us, right? Let me put this right here. Justification is past tense. We need to be declared righteous before God. We're saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is what? Death. And what's the provision? The provision is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, how he, I always do it this way, died and rose again. So when you think about justification, it's past tense salvation. And let me write it this way. You have been saved. all of us in this room, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been justified, you are declared right, the penalty of sin was death, the provision is Jesus came and died and rose again, you have been saved. This comes how? By faith. Okay, now I want you to notice, because all this is going to fit together. So your justification is past tense, by faith, penalty of sin's death, the provision is Jesus Christ, you have been saved. And a great verse is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace, what? You have been saved. Now let me tell you, there's some translations that actually say, by grace you are saved through faith. You are saved through faith. That's incorrect. In the Greek, the word, by grace, you have been saved, it's perfect tense in the Greek, which means it's a past action with a continuing result. He actually says, for by grace, you have in the past been saved, and it continues on. He put it that way on purpose. So, the first aspect of salvation, and we're going to go more details in just a little bit, is that we call it justification. This is what I call eternal life salvation, and it's past tense. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus, we owed God death. Jesus became the provision. By faith, we trusted in Him. We have been saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And so, all of us in this room, we have been saved. Now, this is the one that most people think about all the time. They go, oh, yeah, salvation. When I was 12 years old, I believed in Jesus, so I was saved then. So, that's justification, salvation. Okay? That's that one. There is a second one, and this is called sanctification. And I hope I can put the room here. Sanctification. Now, this is present tense. It's present tense. And if we look at this, we're saved from the power of sin. This is power of sin, okay? And the provision, anybody know what the provision is? It's the Holy Spirit. Exactly right. And if you notice, you are being saved. And this is by faithfulness. As you walk worthy of your calling, as you live righteously and godly, this is Christian life salvation. Okay. And a verse that would be good is Philippians 2:12. That says, work out your own salvation. It's present tense and it's a present imperative. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you can see that you have been saved. That's eternal life salvation. It's through Jesus Christ by faith. You are being saved. This is the Christian life salvation. It's present tense. It's ongoing now. The problem is the power of sin. And the provision is the Holy Spirit, so you can walk worthy of the calling. And so you are being saved. And Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation. I've had people come to me, and they say, the Bible says you have to work for your salvation. I said, really, where? And they quote this verse. I said, read the verse. It didn't say work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. And it's present tense. See, sometimes when you see the word salvation, or you see something dealing with salvation, you have to ask yourself this question. First of all, what salvation are we talking about? Is it a physical deliverance? Did somebody almost die and they got saved that way? Was somebody drowning and they got saved that way? Was it a physical deliverance from an enemy? Or is it talking about something spiritual? Is it talking about an eternal life salvation? Is it talking about a Christian life salvation? Okay, so far, everybody okay? We got it? Well, then there's a third one, and this is called glorification. And this is what I call future salvation, because we got eternal life salvation, we got Christian life salvation, we got future salvation, and this is future. And the problem over here is there's the penalty of sin, over here is the power of sin, this is the presence of sin. The presence of sin. And the provision is when Christ comes to get us. And when I say that, it also is on it, that if you were to die, to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. So this is when you're connected back with Jesus Christ. That's the provision. And this is you will be saved. And this is by God's faithfulness and a great verse is Romans 13:11, when he says your salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. Okay, so let me let everybody get this written down, and let's talk about it for a second. Okay, let me put this up here. Saved from the presence of sin, the provision is, of course, eternal life with God. That was when Jesus Christ comes and gets us. So, let's think about it for a second. You have been saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. You've been saved by what we call eternal life salvation. You've been saved in what we call Christian life salvation. You're saved in a future salvation. You're saved by faith. When you trust in Jesus Christ, who is the provision for the penalty of sin, that's justification. You are being saved, that's faithfulness. When you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, you are being saved as you have victory over the power of sin in your life. That's Christian life salvation. And then one day, you will be saved. That's by God's faithfulness when he comes to get you or when you go to be with him. Either way, it's future. Then you will be saved from the presence of sin because you won't be with sin anymore. And it's through Jesus Christ. And so this is by faith, by faithfulness, and by God's faithfulness. This is past, present, and future. This is have been saved, are being saved, and will be saved. So when you see in the Bible the aspect of salvation, you have to ask yourself a question, okay? What first of all, is it talking about some kind of physical thing, or is it talking about some kind of spiritual thing? If it's talking about some kind of spiritual thing, then what do you look for? Whether it's past, present, or future. If you just read Ephesians 2:8-9 and it said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, what do you know that's talking about? That's justification, that's past tense. But if this one says you need to work out, present tense, your own salvation, you know that's what? Christian life. And this one says your salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. That's coming. You know that's the future aspect. So I want you to see that because so many people are confused because every time they see the word salvation, they think eternal life salvation. By the way, in the Old Testament, the word salvation is used hundreds of times and a very, very, very small percentage have to do with eternal life salvation. In fact, over 80 to 85% of the times the word salvation is used in the Old Testament, it is used of physical deliverance from an enemy or physical deliverance that you were dying somehow and something saved you. So when you go back to the Old Testament and see the word salvation, you need to stop right then and say, this most likely is not talking about eternal life salvation. Now, when you get to the New Testament, it's more. It's more. You're going to see that it's not as much physical deliverance salvation, but it's going to be one of these three: justification, sanctification, or glorification. Okay, now let's, before we go any further, any questions, anything you want to talk about it? Yes.
On part two, sanctification, saved from the power of sin, is that's I'm currently being saved from the power of sin.
Okay, the power of sin is it goes back to your flesh, it goes back to a fallen world system, and so sin is pulling you all the time, right? And so you've done wrong, right? Okay, now, but you don't have to fall. You can be saved from the power of sin because there's the Holy Spirit, and if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this Jesus Christ saved you from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit is saving you from the power of sin. And when he comes and gets us, he's going to save us from the presence of sin. Does this make sense? Okay, great. What else? Any other input, questions? Okay, this is probably not new for most of us. Well, that's all at the bottom of that one page. And so if you go to the top of the next page, we're going to go a little bit more detail when we think about, and by the way, when we think about this whole thing, the results of sin is death. And so Jesus, oh, wait a minute, let me get back here. Yeah. Okay. So now let's go and let's look at salvation from the penalty of sin. I put up on this one guilt and penalty of sin, but I really like to better to just say salvation from the penalty of sin. So we're right here. We're at justification. And so let's talk about it for just a minute when we think about salvation. I've got the results of sin is what? What is it? The results of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if you noticed, it is the what? It's the what? Gift. And what does this say? By grace you've been saved through faith and not yourselves. It's the gift of God. And that's one of the things we got to really grasp, is because so few people actually grasp grace. We say it all the time at our church. Let me say something. There are people that sit out there every Sunday, and what do I say the salvation message is? Jesus died and rose again, and whoever what? Believes in him will never perish but have what? Eternal life. And you trust in Jesus Christ to give you what? Eternal life. Did you know there are people out there who hear that every Sunday, and if you ask them how to be saved, they would say, ask Jesus into your life. Because they think I'm saying the same thing. Because all of their lives, they were taught to ask Jesus in, repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, walk down an aisle, make a public profession. And so when I say it's faith alone and Christ alone and you trust in him to give you eternal life, they think I'm saying the same thing they've heard all their lives. I am not. To trust in Christ for eternal life, to believe in him for eternal life, is much different than saying, walk down an aisle, give your life to Jesus, ask him to come into your life, make a commitment to him, make him Lord of your life. None of those are all works. This is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone. Okay, so we're talking about the whole idea here. And so Jesus tells his disciples, he says this, listen, the truth will set you what? Free from what? Free from sin and death. I mean, that's the bottom line, the truth. Jesus tells his disciples, the truth shall set you free. And Jesus is the truth. So let's talk about that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what? No one does what? Can come to the Father except through me. So the truth sets us free from the penalty of sin. Now, I want you to understand, and this is what's really good. When you get to 1 John 2:2, understand that we've all sinned and owe God death. God must deal with the penalty. 1 John 2:2, Jesus is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Now, what you've got to grasp is, and this is where so many people are confused, that Jesus Christ died on the cross as the satisfactory payment for what? For what? For sin. For whose sin? Everybody sinned for ever and all time. So sin is not the issue, right? When you talk to people, you don't need to say to them, you need to deal with your sin or you need to do this and this. What you need to tell them is that Jesus has already paid for all sin, and the sin's not the issue. The issue is what? Will you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life? That's the issue. Lewis Berry Chafer, the founder of Dallas Seminary, would say this. He'd say, you don't have a sin problem, you have a son problem. What will you do with the Son of God? Because the sin issue is gone. Now, let me tell you, there are people who will teach that, yes, Jesus died on the cross and he paid for sin, but he only paid for sin of some people. That's wrong. There's another view that says Jesus died on the cross and he paid for all sin, but it doesn't count for you until you believe, and means that it was a potential payment. That's wrong as well. Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sin of every human being, past, present, and future. He is that satisfactory payment. He's not a potential payment. He is the satisfactory payment, and sin is not the issue. The issue is, will you believe in Jesus Christ to give you eternal life? John 3:18, he that believes is what? Not condemned, but that he believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he's a sinner? No, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So just remember in this first thing right here, that the whole issue is Jesus came and he's the way, the truth, and the life. He died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. He is the provision to deal with sin. And whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Jesus died for everyone. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died the just for the unjust. 2 Corinthians 5:24, for God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, on our behalf. That's exactly right. Hebrews 2:9, Jesus Christ tasted death for every person. And so you got to realize that he is the satisfactory payment. And the whole way that he can deal that Jesus Christ is the provision for the penalty of sin is because he paid it. He paid it, and he paid it completely. So you will never stand before God for your what? See, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's the reward stand, not the seat, the sin stand. You don't stand there and he goes, well, you know, when you were in the fourth grade, you did this. And when you were 22, you did this. And when you were 31, you did this. That's all gone. That's placed on Christ. When we stand before him, he's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or we're going to be ashamed at his coming. But that has nothing to do with sin. So we are justified simply by faith. That's why it's called justification. It means to be declared righteous. And so this first one, we just love it in the fact that Jesus dealt with sin and death. And when we believe in him, we have been saved. It's by faith. It's a gift. It's not works. It's past tense. And we have been saved. Okay? Questions, comments? Are we okay on this? All right, this is not hard. This is good stuff. Okay, now, let's look at the next one. I think it's not by works. Okay, now, this is from the power of sin. In our Christian lives, now this is a little bit more technical. Now, Adam's taught a class in the past, and it was, what was it? What did you call it? You did mostly Romans 6 and 7, right? Or was it? Okay, newness of life. And he really went to, which is, I think, one of the most incredible parts of the Bible, Romans chapter 7, probably 6, 7, and 8 is probably what he did. I know 6 and 7. And a lot of people don't even understand. They don't even study Romans 6 and 7. But Romans chapter 6 and 7 is really the key to the Christian life. And it's key to the power of the Holy Spirit, the provision, and what we call sanctification. So this is, we're saved from the power of sin. In the Christian life, we have the pull of three things. You know what they are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. If you've got it there, it says, in our Christian lives, we have the pull of world, flesh, and devil. And of course, we're really thinking more about the flesh and that pull and that kind of thing. And so God's provision for the power of sin. What is the provision? It's what? The Holy Spirit, it is. God's provision is the Holy Spirit. And that's why as you go on up further and you go to Galatians and he says, we must walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here we are. We've already got this one. We're into this one. And this is Christian life. And what is amazing is every one of us in this room, we are being saved right now. One time, Dr. Earl Rodmacher he's a Dallas Seminary grad. He's passed away now. He's an older man. I knew him when he was older. And he was the president of a couple of seminaries. He's just done a lot of things, written all kind of books, but he was a free grace man all the way. One time, he was in a conference, and he prayed, oh, Lord, please save me today. And he was doing this right here. He was talking about sanctification, save him as he would grow in the grace of God. And some people came up to him and said, Dr. Rodmacher, we thought you were saved. He said, of course I have been saved. I'm praying to be saved. And some of them didn't understand it. He actually wrote a book later called Salvation. It's a really good book, and he deals with all of these kind of things. And this is the one that when you say to people, I am being saved right now, and you go, I thought you already were. Well, I have been, but now I am being. So this is the Christian life, salvation. And we must walk, the power is to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's talk about Romans. And I want you to turn there, okay? Everybody turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And this is powerful. And one of these days, when Adam teaches his class again, y'all need to take it because it's powerful. Because let me just say this. What most people do is this. People say, how do you live the Christian life? Well, you try to walk in the Spirit and you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what do you do? Well, most of the time I sin. And so then what do? Well, I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. So most of our Christian life is walking, sinning, confessing, walking, sinning, and confessing. When you get to Romans chapter 6, he didn't say anything about confessing. You know what he tells you to do? What does he tell you to do? Quit sinning. Don't sin. He says, quit sinning. Why are you sinning? And he tells you why. tells you why you can do it. Look at Romans chapter 6. And I want you to just quickly, and we're just going to take just a second to look at this. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. He says, don't you know that all of us have been baptized, been placed in union into Christ Jesus, and have been placed in union into his death? When did you get placed in union with Christ? When you trusted him. Did you die with him? Yes, you did. And then it says, therefore, we've been buried with him through union, baptism, into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You understand that Jesus died and rose again, right? When you trusted Jesus, he placed you in him, and you died with him, you were buried with him, and you rose with him to a new life. That's when we baptize people, we get them out in that thing, and we say something like, I baptize you in the name of Father, and I put them down and up. That's a picture of their death and resurrection in union with Jesus Christ. So every one of us in this room, you trusted Jesus, you died and rose again with him. Now listen to what he goes on to say, look at verse 6. He says, knowing our old self was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that means rendered inactive, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And I want you to understand, he's saying that our old self has been put to death, done away with, rendered powerless, and so we identify with Christ's death, so we don't have to sin. Now this is what's the most amazing thing. You don't have to sin. I don't have to either. I do it a lot on purpose, right? But see, I died and rose with Christ, and I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to sin. Don't have to. Because he says, I died and rose with Christ to a new life. I'm a new person. And it's really powerful. He goes on and says in Romans 6, 11 and 12, that he says, and this is beautiful, he says, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. So don't let sin reign in your body. You know what he says? You died. I'm going to put it over here. You died and rose again with Christ. You're a new person. So stop letting your flesh, the power of sin, flesh, stop letting that rule your life. Stop it. There was... I was watching a video one time. It was a church thing. It was a video, and they showed a clip, and it was a clip of Bob Newhart. Y'all know who Bob Newhart is? Some of you know who Bob Newhart, and he played a counselor, but in this clip, he was also a counselor, and a guy came in and said, Dr. Bob, whatever his name was, he said, I just want you to know I've been sinning, and I'm really having trouble sinning, and Newhart went, well, stop it. Quit it. And everybody started laughing, and he said, quit it. And the guy said, well, I can't, quit it, let's stop sinning. And the truth is, that's exactly what Paul says in Romans. He says, stop letting sin reign your mortal life. Stop it. You died and rose again with Christ. You don't have to obey this. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, which can defeat, is the provision for the power of sin in your life. And so you can be saved in the present tense. Understand that? So we can all be saved. Now we have already been saved, that's eternal life salvation, but we can be saved right now in our Christian life. And that's what we would call victory in the Christian life. Let me read something to you. He says, for just as you presented your members to lawlessness, that's the flesh, now present your members, talking about your body, to righteousness. He actually says you have a choice. You can either present your life to the Holy Spirit and live righteously and godly, or present yourself to the flesh and live sinfully. And he says, stop doing this and do this. So if you want to have victory in the Christian life, all we have to do is obey that. Now, I don't do it. I'm not very good. I'm not a very good person. But the truth is that this is how we can have victory. So, in the past we have been saved. In the present, we are being saved. It's so powerful. I got a lot of verses, and let me see if I put some up here. Stop letting sin reign. Present yourself to God, and then even God saves us from the power. It's supposed to be from saves us from the power of sin, and this is called sanctification. So there's justification, sanctification, past tense salvation, present tense salvation, and we're not through because there's one more. I think I might have the verses. Look at this verse right here. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed. We're talking Christian life. What's the key in the Christian life? It's obedience. Okay? So this is my, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying work to be saved. He's saying this Greek word for work out means what's on the inside, bring it out. What do you like on the inside? You're a child of God. You're a new creation in Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're a spiritually alive person. He says, work that out. Work out your salvation. Live out who you are. And then, of course, there's the 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay close attention to yourself, to your teaching. Now, be careful what you teach and persevere in these things. For as you do this, as you live this out, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. What salvation? Christian life salvation. He's not telling you if you work good, you'll be saved. He's actually saying if you work good, you'll be saved, but it'll be now. It's present tense salvation. Great stuff. Great stuff. So we've seen justification and sanctification. Well, we got one more. And that's God, his plan is complete, and this is salvation from the presence of sin. You mean which word was used here? Yeah. Ensure salvation? The word is sozo in the Greek. Soterion is the noun, which means savior or salvation. And sozo means like I save. That's the Greek word. And so it can be used just like we say, man, I was walking and I stepped off the curb and Adam grabbed me and saved me from getting run over by a car. That's sozo. No. The word salvation is used over and over and over in the New Testament. It's sozo or soterion. Yeah, it's used all the time. And so it's just like our English word salvation. We say it all different ways. Man, that saved me. I was going to fail that test, and I met that guy, and he saved me from failing the test. He saved me. The doctor gave me the medicine, saved me from dying. Jesus Christ saved me so I could have eternal life. Jesus Christ saved me as I'm growing as a Christian. So it's all the exact same word in the original language. So God's plan is complete. Now let's think about this last thing. Sin brings what? Death. But there's no death where? There's no death there. And so when we think about glorification, there's right now he's saving us. He's going to save us from the presence of sin. That means being around it. And that's going to be when Christ comes, either we die to be with Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body, his presence of the Lord, or he's going to come in the clouds and get us. And so he's the provision. I always say this, we will be saved. This is we are being saved. We will be saved. And this is God's faithfulness. This is by our faithfulness as we walk worthy of the calling and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's faithfulness to do what he said. What did Jesus say? I'm going to do what? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and I will get you. We know that one of these days he's coming. One of these days he's going to come. You know what? Right now I kind of wish he'd come after all the stuff is happening. But the bottom line is this. One of these days, Jesus Christ, if we don't die first, he's going to come in the clouds with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. We will be saved from the presence of God. Of sin. Because eventually, now when we are with him, and then in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, there'll be sin then. There'll be tears, there'll be sadness, and then when we get to the eternal state, there won't be any. There'll be no more sadness, no more tears. Look at this verse right here, Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. God will change our bodies to be like his. I think I have the verse. Well, I'll have it in a minute. Let me just remind you of this verse. It says, our citizenship is in heaven. We wait for the Savior who will transform our body into conformity to his body. I mean, this beautiful, it's just going to be amazing. God will change our bodies to be like Christ's resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 15, there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more death. He says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? There's not one. This is called glorification. This is glorification. So look right here. This is it, the glorification. So there is a past salvation, a present salvation, and a future salvation. And one of these days, we will be saved. Yeah, go back. What do you need? Oh, right there. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm fast. I've got the verses. I think I've got them. It should be coming up here. I didn't do the slides, and so sometimes I forget what they are. I went over them today to think I should have them, but we'll see them in just a second. I love the Romans 13:11. Our salvation is nearer than it's ever been. I think that's fantastic. Okay, y'all ready for me to move it? Tell me when. Got it? Nope. I think some people are still writing. Huh? Yeah. For our salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. This is glorification. Look at this. Do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. I've had people come up to me and say, I thought we got salvation when we believed. I said, you did. You got past salvation. What's that called? And then there's a present salvation. What's that called? And then there's a future salvation. It's called what? Glorification. Do you know that your salvation is nearer now than there's ever been? And some of us are saying, I hope so. You know, here's the good thing. Is justification guaranteed? The moment you believe, you're justified. Is glorification guaranteed? Yes. Is sanctification guaranteed? It's not, huh? Mm-mm. Whom he justified, he also glorified. You notice he skipped sanctification there? Because this is not guaranteed. Because if you don't take the provision, if you let sin rule in your life, you are not saved from the power of sin. Think about that. The Christian life is probably the hardest one, isn't it? Because when you trust Jesus Christ, you're justified. That's done. One of these days he's going to come get us. We're going to be there. That's done. This one is the hard one. So if you go to the top of the next page, whoops, about to drop all this. This phase is called glorification. There's the other. You have then Romans, John 14:6, which is Christ's plan, and we know this. Let me read this to you because it's so beautiful. All of us know it. He says, and he's with them that last night, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I looked it up today. I've been doing a lot of stuff in the original language. And it's actually even more fun than ever. I mean, I'm seeing things that I haven't really seen before. And he says, it's what they call an imperative, but it's a third person. So it's translated, let not your heart be troubled. But he's actually commanding them to stop being bothered about something. Because the word trouble means being back and forth. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He's basically saying, stop being troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are what? Many what? Dwelling places. I know that people have always said many mansions, but the word actually means cubicles. It means nesting places. We would call it apartments. But, you know, people say, I want a big old mansion. Well, you're probably going to get an apartment, but that's good. You know, right? You know, think about it. So he says, in my Father's place there are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. And what is he going to do? What's his plan? I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let me ask you a question. Where do you think this place is? Huh? Huh? Well, yeah. I mean, where do you think is? What is it? What is it? What's it going to be like? You think it'll be the new heavens and the new earth? And what comes down in the new heavens and the new earth? The new Jerusalem. It is a city 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. Do you think there's enough dwelling places in there for all of us? Yes, there is. That's his plan. Now go to prepare a place for you. Wasn't that what I told you? And when I've got it prepared, I will come again and get you and receive you to myself. And says, so where I am, you will be also. So this is Christ's plan, and it's beautiful. He has gone to prepare an eternal home for us. He plans. He said, I've saved you from the penalty of sin through my Son, Jesus Christ, and it's by faith. I am saving you from the power of sin in your life. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I want you to be faithful. You are being saved, so stop letting sin reign. And one day I will save you. I will come and get you. I will save you from the presence of sin. One day you'll be with me and there will be no more sin. And it's by my faithfulness to do what I promised. And that salvation is nearer than it's ever been. And this salvation is to be worked out. And this salvation has already happened. And that's where we are. And so when we look at a summary, he'll return and take us to be with him. When we look at this right here. I love this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing what?
Salvation.
What? Okay, what salvation? We don't know. You got to read the rest of the verse. But the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That's an aspect. It has appeared. What kind of salvation do you think that is?
Justification.
And then he says, instructing us to, this is present tense, deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What salvation is that? Sanctification. And then looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. What salvation is that? Glorification. In this, these three verses, you have justification, sanctification, and glorification. That's Titus 2, 11 through 13. And if you want to think about it, I've got it this way. You've got, this is the 1, 2, 3 there. This is justification. It's past tense, saved from the penalty of sin. The provision is Jesus Christ. Now, there's much more information. All this other stuff that we wrote up here, you have been saved. It's by faith. It's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's past tense. Provision is Jesus. All of that. So that's just a little bit there, but there's so many things. I would love for you to be able to say justification, past tense, penalty of sin, Jesus Christ, have been saved by faith, and give a verse. That way you got the big three. You can get them all. Okay, that's justification. Here's sanctification. Look at that. That's present tense. We're saved from the power of sin and the provisions of the Holy Spirit. And you are being saved. Philippians 2:12. So work it out. So work it out. And as Paul would say in Romans 6, stop letting sin rule your life. Okay? And then there's the last one, glorification. Look at it. It's future. Saved from the presence of sin. And the provision is eternal life. It's God coming to get us, but it's eternal life with Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of salvation, do you think of all three of these? Do you realize how amazing what he has done for us? He could say, listen. I've saved you forever. I'm saving you right now. I'll even save you in the future. I've done this through Jesus. I've done this, doing this through the Holy Spirit. I will do this by me coming back. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. This is by faith. This is by faithfulness. This is by my faithfulness. Isn't it beautiful? That guy that I taught, he came up to me and he says, this has put the whole thing together for me. I've never seen this before. Never seen this before. And you'll be talking to people and they'll say things like, you know, the salvation, and they're going to use a verse and you're going to say, no, wait a minute, that's present tense. That's talking about Christian life salvation. We'll see that. So, God loved us so much that he has provided a way to deal with the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. God loves us so much that he has provided a way to deal with the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. What's the penalty of sin? What's the power of sin? It's the flesh. What's the presence of sin? Being in a fallen world. He's loved us so much, he has provided a way to deal with this. The second thing is, recognize God's plan is for the believer to have total victory over sin, past, present, and future. That's us. Man, does this pump you up a little bit? It pumped me up. Listen, I mean, how many times do you think I've taught this? I mean, we've been doing this study over 20-something years. And, I mean, I've taught this a lot of times. And, I mean, I love it. I absolutely say, this is something I want to teach. I just did the GES conference, okay? And I did a study at the GES conference on reconciliation and being, I called it being saved three times. What do you think I taught? it just so happens this lesson has to come up right after the GES Commerce, but I taught justification, sanctification, glorification. I taught that to the people there. And it's such a great study. GES is Grace Evangelical Society. It's people who hold to the grace message like we do. And it's a conference. They have a conference every year, and it's the national conference. I usually get to speak. I get to speak every year. I did a workshop. Sometimes I've done what they call a main session. Sometimes I've done workshops. I just did a workshop this last time. Okay, with that in mind, I think this is, oh, yeah. Oh, look at your memory verse. You want double points on this one, don't you? Let me see how many points you get for this. Oh, well, 1 point. Well, anyway, no, I'm not. But the grace of God has appeared. Has not the grace of God appeared? And it's bringing salvation to all men, justification. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live righteously and godly in this present age. Sanctification. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Glorification. Oh, I guess our memory verse is all of them. Who gave himself for our sin, he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession. Zealous of what? Good deeds. Look at this. He said that he gave, that Jesus, this is all about, he gave himself who for who? For us. Why? To redeem us from every lawless deed, redeem us from sin, and two things, and to purify for himself us, a people. For what? For his own possession, that we would be zealous for what? Good deeds. He died for us so that he could save us, that he would deliver us, he would purify us, and then we would go out and do good deeds. Good deeds have nothing to do with salvation. They don't prove salvation. They don't get you saved. But that's what you're supposed to do as a saved person.